today on the I Hope Empowers podcast.
So as a Muslim, during Ramadan, you are fulfilling your requirement of fasting and accomplishing one of the five pillars, which gave us a sense of being close to God.
Have you ever held back from sharing your faith, especially with people of other faiths and cultures? Welcome to the I Hope Empowers podcast. I'm your host, Vinod Bijani, and here's a fresh dose of inspiration and road-tested principles that will embolden you to share Jesus with Muslims and other non-believers. Muslims all around you will be celebrating Ramadan from Saturday night, April 2, through Sunday evening, May 1st. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with Muslims is not a skill typically taught in the church, and most likely, your Christian friends aren't aware of the need. Now that's okay. We're here to help. I Hope is a story of everyday Christians like you coming together to change the way believers think about sharing Jesus with Muslims. And when we work together, we can change this. While our neighborhoods have been growing increasingly diverse, most Christians lack the courage, confidence, and know-how to start spiritual conversations and share their biblical faith with Muslims. This podcast will empower you to help your friends be authentic Christian witnesses with Muslims during Ramadan. All right, we're going to introduce our two guests today, and you're going to love them, Asma and Nadalla. They are former Muslims who are now followers of Jesus. They have amazing testimonies of how God worked in their lives to lead them to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, you'll want to hear previous podcasts where they shared their testimonies. Look for the links in the show notes. Now, before you hear from them, let me tell you what you can expect on this episode. First, Asma and Nadalla will unpack some helpful things to know about Ramadan. I love that they're sharing with you today because they'll give you some of the basics from a Muslim's perspective. Then we'll share a story to illustrate how simple it can be for you to start a conversation about spiritual things during Ramadan. And then finally, I'll share some practical next steps that you can apply. So let's get started. First, let's begin with Asma. Please tell us about yourself and give us a summary of your testimony.
Thank you so much, Renaud, for having me. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And it gives me great joy to share how God led me from darkness to light. And it's an overwhelming feeling to know that I am saved, you are saved, even though we don't deserve it, but we are saved by His grace. Praise God. I was born in a country where 90% of the population are Muslim. All I knew about Christianity was what I read in the Quran, what I saw in Hollywood movies and music videos, basically false information. My first time meeting Christians was in college when I moved to the U.S. I remember my friends talking about God's love, and they were the first ones to introduce me to the concept of having a relationship with God. It was a strange concept for me, and I was amazed at how excited they talked about God and His love. They were excited as if He had done something special, perhaps something like saving them from their sins.
Yeah.
And for me at that time, God is the master and I'm the slave. And how dare would I even think about having a relationship with Him? I was afraid of His punishment since the assurance of salvation does not exist in Islam. And I was not sure if my work was enough to lead me to heaven. Yes. I thought to myself, these Christians who are my friends do know God, but don't know Allah of Islam. So I decided to convert them to Islam, and this was my turning point. God has His funny ways. I was learning to convert them, but instead, God began to show me things about Islam that I've never paid attention to before. And I struggled with that and what I was discovering. And I remember one night I prayed after my Islamic prayer and I cried out to God and I said, God, show me, reveal yourself to me. And I felt the Lord was steering my heart to read the Bible. Mm. I took my friend's Bible and I started reading. Actually, let me take it back. I stole the Bible. I took it without permission. Okay. So, hey, tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yeah.
As I began to read and flip pages, I noticed some texts were printed in red and I thought that must be important. And it certainly was. And it was Jesus' words. I was so hungry to read his word and I could not wait to read what he had to say. And God just began to reveal himself to me as the Savior, the merciful and the loving and compassionate God. And he answered my prayers and my cries, and I received the gift of salvation, and my life has changed tremendously since then. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Again, our listener, you can click in the show notes and hear more of Asma's previous podcast with us and her testimony. Nandalla, please tell us about yourself and give us a summary of your testimony before we get going with Ramadan.
Hello, everyone. Arina, thank you for having me here. It's a privilege to share God's story in my life. And for me, it's a big difference from my sister Asma. When I was 6 years old, for the first time, I heard from authentic Christian believer. He said, Jesus risen from grave. For this word, after 9 years, I accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I came from country. The majority is Muslim Sunni. And my father, he's a Muslim leader. But the Lord, he changed my life to be his son. My family, they preparing me to be a Muslim leader too. But God, he have a different story. And he have a different future for my life. When I was 14 years old, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And after about 4 years from that, the Lord called me to be a minister. And I have a heart to minister with a Muslim people, to share the gospel, to share the message of hope, to share the message of salvation with this people. And through all this year, I see God's hand in my life. And I see he changed me. He changed my older brother, but he's with the Lord now. He changed my cousin. He changed hundreds of the people in Lebanon. And this is what the God done in my life.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Nadalla. Okay, let's start unpacking some Ramadan basics. Now, Asma, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And if you forget the question, I can come back and reiterate it. But let's start with, what is this month, Ramadan, that's holy to Muslims all about? And why do they celebrate it? And what are they supposed to do during Ramadan?
So, Ramadan is the name of the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. And they believe that God revealed the Quran to Muhammad during this month. The Islamic calendar follows the phases of the moon. So you might notice that Ramadan's start date is different every year. The sighting of the new crescent moon signifies the official first day of Ramadan. I remember one of my family tradition after the Isha, the last prayer, we sat around the TV and waited for the Islamic committee to come and tell us when Ramadan would start. It was an exciting time for us as a family, especially when I was a kid. What is it about? Ramadan is a period of fasting. They're supposed to fast from dawn to sunset. And during this time, they will have to refrain from food, drinks, smoking, sexual relations. And it is a must for Muslim to fast during Ramadan. It's not optional. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. And Muhammad said, whoever breaks the fast, even for one day with no excuse, has committed a significant sin and has exposed himself to the wrath and punishment of Allah.
Wow.
So there are some exceptions. If physically limited or breastfeeding, they will have to provide meals to the needy. But for women, during their time of the month, they are considered unclean to fast, and they will have to fast after Ramadan for the days they have missed.
Mm.
And iftar is the time to break the fast, and it's during the fourth required prayer, and that's the prayer during the sunset. And I tell you, Maghrib is one of the most important prayers during Ramadan. I don't know if you felt that way, Nadallah, but I remember in my country, the moment you hear the call of prayers, Allah, I mean, he does not even have to finish this. And you will see kids running home to break the fast and no one is outside during that time. So if you drop a pen, you will hear it.
Wow.
That's pretty much a summary, very short summary of what Ramadan is about.
Yes. Okay. And did you tell us why they celebrate it?
It's a must.
It is a must.
Okay. Yes. Okay. For a Muslim to fast during Ramadan. So it's okay. One of the five pillars.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Asma. Nadallah, please unpack for us, for our listener, more about a Muslim's prayer during the month of Ramadan and how are they different than the typical daily prayers?
Muslims have to pray, usually they have to pray five times. If they can go to the mosque, this is great for them. But in Ramadan, they're going every time to the mosque because they have more points for their life. And the Muslim people, they have five prayers a day, but in Ramadan, they're adding a new prayer. It is called At-Tarawih. This At-Tarawih just for the Sunni people, not for the Shia people. The Shia people didn't believe in that. Their prayer seeking Allah's mercy and the blessing. And the last 10 days, they seek Allah's safety from all their sinful or from the hell, because the salvation is not guaranteed in Islam.
Wow, that's a lot to remember. That's a lot of rakat means kneeling. That's a lot of kneelings and a lot of pressure. Wow, I can't imagine. Okay. Yeah. Now, Asma, our listener may have heard of the Night of Power during the Ramadan. Mm. That's in Arabic, I believe, Laylatul Qadr. So please tell us, what is that about?
So this is the night on which God first revealed the Quran to Muhammad. A lot of people celebrate it on the 27th night of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that the exact night isn't clear. So a lot of Muslim scholars cannot really agree about the exact day. So it is believed to be one of the final 10 nights of Ramadan.
Okay.
And the Quran says that this night is better than thousands of months. And that on this night, the angel will descend to earth. It also believed that the gates of heaven are open and the gates of hell are closed. And the devil and demons are captured. And it is also believed that on this day, the prayers will be answered.
Wow.
So as you can see, it's very powerful. And Muslims are encouraged at this time to read the Quran and do extra prayers during the last 10 days.
Wow. Okay. Now, this is a question that wasn't on here. It just came up in the moment. I'm taking a risk to ask it, but I'm curious. Asma, have you prayed those prayers that night? And if you did you get answers? Did you feel that power as a Muslim?
I wish I got the answers. Yes, we are very encouraged to do that. I did it personally. I prayed and especially the last 10 days, but I tell you that I really didn't feel anything special besides that you're anticipating something, but I didn't get any of my prayers answered.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. How about you, Nadallah? Before I ask you a question, I wonder how you celebrated Laylatul Qadr, and did you pray special prayers that night, and what was your experience like?
Yeah, honestly, my experience, I'm sorry to say, it was terrible because I used to pray that and I had expecting I will seek Allah in this time because I had a lot of depression. I had a lot of questions. When I came to this night and praying, they said you have to be to midnight till the morning prayer. It is mean 3:30 a.m. or 4 a.m. But for me, I'm standing. I still wake up till the next day, like 12 p.m. in the day, and never had anything. I'm looking for something special. And year by year, I will say, I will seeking Allah more next year and Laylatul Qadr just to see Allah working in my life. But sadly, nothing happened till I meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I experienced one living God, His name Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you for that. All right. So Nadallah, are there any differences in how Sunni and Shiite Muslims regard Laylatul Qadr or Ramadan in general?
Yeah, Laylatul Qadr is like what my sister Asma said, better than 1,000 months in the year, both Shia and the Sunnah. For the Muslim Sunni, after the fifth prayer, when we said about Taraweeh, it is mean 20 times kneeling. This is for the Sunni people, they start from this time. But for the Shia people, they start after the fifth prayer, they bring just for two kneeling and everything's done. But for the Muslim Sunni people, they are over 85% from the Muslim population. This night is typical the 27th night of Ramadan. For Shia Muslim, around 10% of Islam, this night typically is the 23rd night of Ramadan.
Sometimes how I remember growing up in the Middle East, Christmas was different on a different day for Orthodox Christians or Catholic Christians versus Greek Orthodox Catholic Christians. So I remember that used to be confusing for me. All right. Now, Esma, how did you and your family celebrate Ramadan growing up in your Islamic country of origin?
So as a Muslim, during Ramadan, you are fulfilling your requirement of fasting and accomplishing one of the five pillars, which gave us a sense of being close to God. And you feel really good doing that. So we read the Quran every night. We made sure to finish reading the Quran throughout Ramadan, since every letter you read earns you 100 hasanat, which translate to 100 rewards. And I remember finishing the Quran for the first time. I was quite pleased with myself for accomplishing this at a very young age. And my parents were proud of me. My brother Nadala was talking about after iftar. I already mentioned that's the time where you break the fast. They are recommended prayers after Isha, the last prayer of the day. And these prayers usually last about 2 hours. So Ramadan is also an important time for family. We get excited about the food we're going to eat, the new TV series we'll watch. TV channels are very rich in entertainment during this month. The family normally comes together after iftar and invites each other to iftar. So you must prepare 3 to 4 dishes at least. There are also unique desserts and things like that. And at this time, food prices are higher. So during this period is especially difficult for low-income families, but people are quite generous. Everyone wants to collect hasanat, which are reward as much as possible. And you will see many people donating food and clothes and hosting iftars. In 2019, I had the opportunity to go back home during Ramadan as a Christian for the first time during Ramadan. That was something, and it felt very different. And so I prayed by the name of Jesus every night that he would reveal himself to them as he did for me.
We are joining you in that prayer. And we pray that the Lord will reveal himself to them in dreams, visions, pointing them any way possible through you on your WhatsApp calls with them and so on. So yes, and I remember growing up as a Christian in Islamic ruled countries. And yes, I remember Ramadan. And like you said, our Muslim neighbors, did they give us some food and desserts? And I remember I loved that part. We weren't fasting, but I enjoyed the food and the desserts because it was quite a celebration. It was fun. All right. Yep. Now, Nadala, how did you and your family and relatives celebrate Ramadan growing up in your Islamic country of origin?
Yeah, honestly, maybe just in our country or in our area, it is a social thing in Ramadan because we want to celebrate this time. We have all the family over in our house, especially my father. He's a Muslim leader. He's a second businessman in our area, and he have a lot of money. He want to give lots of donations. He kill a lot of sheep and making donations for the people. I remember from the first day or 2 days before Ramadan, till after Ramadan and 5 or 10 days sometimes, from year to year is different. We still have a family or we still have a people every day in our house. We never had the iftar breaking the fast. We always have a people, always reading the Quran together because my father, he built a mosque less than 800 meters from our house. We have to go all the time to do that. We enjoy the movies. But when my father, he back home, usually he been visiting someone. But when he back home and he say, listen, this is haram. You can't watching movies and this is not good. And all the month of Ramadan, it is mean to celebrate that and enjoy that time with Allah and have more points in your calendar or in your bucket when you die, because your salvation is not guaranteed. You have more hasanat or more points is Allah looking for that, and maybe you will be in paradise? And for me, honestly, usually I didn't feel okay, because after fasting more than 12 hours and you came to eat, you can't eat that much. And always I feel like, why do I have to do that? I want to eat because I'm a man and I didn't feel okay with this thing.
Wow. I'm going to share my experience a little bit, and I wonder if you ever observed this. Now, growing up, I went through quite a few Islamic countries, but I lived predominantly in Iraq and in Libya. And I remember during Ramadan, we would have Muslim friends over during the day, and my mom would have cooked things that don't smell, like she would make fattoush salad or tabbouleh salad, which don't give an aroma. And Muslims would come to our house, sneak food, sneak drinks, then dry their mouth afterwards, still try to look really miserable, and then walk out of the house. So it was amazing for me to see that. It was like a top secret. And I remember one time in Libya, there was a big commotion and there was like a parade in the street. And I remember from my balcony looking out, and they had a lineup of people that apparently broke the fast and they were caught. And people were spitting at them, screaming at them. I don't remember what they were saying. They were throwing things, trash at them, and so on. It was like a parade of shame for the people who broke the fast and were caught. Have you ever seen anything like that or experienced anything like that as far as Muslims cheating on Ramadan and getting away with it, and what happens to those who were caught?
Yeah, I have not seen it in my country, maybe because they were eating with you guys because you guys were Christians. But no Muslim will go to another Muslim and eat unless they both do it together, you know? What I have seen was more here in the United States. I've seen Muslims that were not fasting, and it was really surprising for me to see that. I know in my country, it's illegal to eat publicly during Ramadan.
Yes.
So even the women during their time of the month, they're allowed to eat, but you wouldn't be eating publicly. While you were talking, it reminded me about how God in the Bible talks about how we should fast, and then how in Islam we should fast. So we should fast and look miserable for the public, like you just said. But the God in the Bible, I believe in Matthew 6, tells us about how we should fast, that actually we should not be showing people that we are fasting. This is when you know it's not really coming from the heart. It's just because it's an obligation and you're doing it because you're obligated to do it. And it's not really coming from the heart where you just do it voluntarily to get closer to God. It's more of the points and the hasanats and how many I can get to get me to heaven.
How about you, Nadallah? Did you back in your country of origin experience anybody that maybe was cheating on the Ramadan?
Yeah, there is no problem from the government, but there is a problem from the people. My father, if he saw anyone eating, he's going to take his handgun and he's going to shoot him right away. And this has happened twice. And from the people, if they see someone cheating in the street, they say he's making trouble for us and he wants to make us jealous because we are fasting and he's not. And some people, because they want to serve Allah, they maybe kill him, maybe shoot him like my father. Maybe some people talk him bad word for him. And this is shame. It is shame to you to do that because we are fasting. Even if you have a health problem or you have a mental condition in your life, they have no problem. You have to fast because you can't do that publicly.
Next time on the I Hope Empowers podcast.
Usually, if a mosque hosts iftar in my country, it's for the needy or homeless. And so I believe American mosques do this, because many individuals celebrate Ramadan apart from their family, and they want to bring people together so they don't feel lonely during this time. And it's also nice to connect with your Muslim friends if they are apart from their family during this time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, a donor-supported series from iHope Ministries. For more bite-sized things to know and do to share your faith with intention, follow us on Instagram at iHope Ministries. then go to ihopeministries.org and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Your review helps the show empower more everyday Christians with the courage, confidence, and know-how to share Jesus in our generation. See you next time.